Amen. Tonight I'm going to talk about attitude. And I'm going to deal with four attitudes in prayer. How to receive an answer from God. Four attitudes. I know every one of you and every one of you have an attitude. Everybody in here has a certain attitude. Now, as we go through this, pay close attention to when I'm talking about the attitude of prayer. The attitude part always focuses on you in your prayer life. God's attitude's just fine. The attitude I'm talking about is, what attitude do we ask God? What attitude are we in when we get ready for prayer? Do we pray before we pray? Now, oh man, Vance, what does that mean? Well, during the whole cycle of a day, I find myself praying about things, thinking about praying about things. Yeah, that's praying before you pray. I mean, it's God will reveal to you something, especially to me, something wrong with you, Larry. And I know that, and I pray, Lord, I'm going to be praying in a little bit. I mean, I do that. Do you all not do that?
I just pray continuously throughout
the day. It's just a continual thing, isn't it? Lord, I'm a mess. Yep. Lord, please bless this mess. Okay, attitude number one is a willingness to trust God's timing. Trust God's timing. Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. Zacharias was 90 years old, an old man. And let's read the story on him. Luke 1, 8 through 13. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God, Zacharias, in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell. It was time for him to go behind the curtain. It was time for him to go into the Holy of Holies. And it fell by lot. What it is by lot? People say chance. No, it has nothing to do with chance. God doesn't take a chance. But it has to do with God's picking and your willingness to trust God that he will do the picking of the time and on. So whatever they did on casting lots, of meaning the lots came to him, everybody knew. They turned and said, it's you. And everybody in agreement with this. Okay, so it was time for Zacharias to go into the Holy of Holies. Now remember, when you go into the Holy of Holies, if you are so chosen to do that, only one priest could do that on that year, and they would go back there and in the presence of God, and it was so awesome. If you'll remember, they would tie a cord or a rope on the leg of the priest that would go back in case that priest had a heart attack or died while back there. Nobody was going in to get you. No, it ain't going to happen. Only one was allowed to go back, and they would pull him back out with the rope if he had died in there. Now, it had fallen to him, serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to custom of the priesthood. His lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Here he is. Now picture this. Now, when you think, well, now what's the chance of having a heart attack? Well, how many times you had an angel stand beside of you when nobody was in there and an angel appear? That's a pretty good opportunity to have a heart attack. You know, when you've got, you are a human being, you know of your faults and your failures, and here's a representative of God standing beside you. So, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled. Yep, I would be troubled. Got it? And fear fell upon him. Yep, I can relate to that. Can't you all? Okay. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard." I'll tell you something about heard. Circle it. I'm going to tell you about the tense of this word. "Your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Big problem with all of this. For one thing, there always had to be someone that was an ancestor within the family that the boy child was named after in a Jewish family. There wasn't anybody in his family named John. Nobody named John in his family. So he was going to have trouble with this, and he did end up having trouble with it, or his wife did, but God took care of that situation also. Here's the tense of the word heard. The tense of that word heard, used here in this place, it means it's already happened. It happened a long time ago. All the praying that John was doing before his, way back in his younger years, praying for, Zacharias was praying for a boy, we learn now that God already heard his prayer. And he heard it at the very point of the time that he delivered the prayer. You and I need to catch on to this. Does God hear my prayers? He hears your prayer exactly at the moment you pray it. There's no hesitation in God hearing your prayer. There's no hesitation in God answering your prayer. When you pray to God in that heartfelt, heart-dedicated spirit of Christ, when you pray, God hears your prayer. The answer, God knows it. The trouble, you don't. You don't know the answer yet. And that's where we get in trouble. Luke 1:18-20. "And Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this?" Don't ever question God's word when he gives it to you. The angel had just given him a word from God. Zacharias said, how am I going to know this is going to happen? Now listen to him. "For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God." You tell me that wouldn't give you a heart attack? Think of that. "And was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings." How many times do we mess up God's glad tidings in our life because we are full of unbelief and disbelief? Disbelief is the same thing. The old faith. Now, you want a word from God? God said, here's the word. Well, how do I know that's from you? Who were you asking for the answer? Was it not God? Who else do you think's going to be answering you in prayer but the one you talk to in prayer? God will protect your prayers, but God doesn't protect our ignorance. And so often our pride. Listen. "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold," meaning, uh-oh, Zacharias, "you will be mute." I can't think of more of a punishment on me than for me to be mute. See, what I would count as a punishment of being mute, you all would count as a blessing. Right, Faye? Amen. "And not able to speak until these things take place." Why? Because you did not believe my words. Remember this morning? Remember I talked to you about God's word? When God's word is delivered, you believe it. And you, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and everybody in here is, you are to take God's word to the lost and dying world. Not your wisdom, not your thoughts, not your feelings, but you are to take God's word. Thus saith the Lord thy God. Because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled, listen to this, in their own time. In their own time. God's timing. Daddy, not yet. You said no. They don't understand the difference between no and not yet. Okay. You spell faith, and everybody knows how to spell this word because we're all really fit into this bracket. P-A-T-I-E-N-C-E. Faith is patience. And do you know what all of us have very little of? Patience. We say, Lord, I had the faith. Give me the patience to wait. Okay. Why does God delay our answer to prayer? Well, usually it's because he needs to prepare us first for the answer to prayer. You catching it? He needs to prepare us first. A four-year-old asked, Daddy, can I drive the car today? Not today. Someday you'll get to drive the car. When you grow up and you're mature and you've learned how to drive, then you'll get request answered. Now, God waits many times to answer our prayer for us to grow up. He waits. You can't handle the answer to that prayer yet, Larry. You cannot handle the answer to the prayer you just prayed. So I want you to grow up. So you keep on praying until one of three things happens. Number one, you get the answer. Number two, you get the assurance that you're going to get the answer. Now, number three, God reveals to you that it's not his will. God says, nope, ain't going to happen. Wah! We get right back like kids again. Yep. Attitude number two. We must be willing to let God answer in his own way. Now, Lord, here's my prayer. Now, Lord, here's how I want you to answer my prayer. Well, after all, Lord, it's my prayer. You'd think I ought to get a choice in how you answer my prayer, when you answer my prayer. No, it doesn't work that way, folks. God is God. And you're not. You're not. Okay. Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You catching that? God says, I don't think like you. And then he reminds us, you don't think like me. Either. You don't think like me. God delayed the requests of Elizabeth and Zacharias, and they didn't get just a little Jewish baby. They got a John the Baptist Jewish baby. You got that? They got a John the Baptist Jewish baby. Ephesians 3:20. But God is able to do even exceedingly above what you are able to think or imagine. I like that. Because I've told you many times, I can think pretty high. Yeah, I can imagine, oh, man, my brain can go wild on imagination. But God is able to do even exceedingly above what you are able to think or even imagine. Attitude number three. You must be willing to let God answer in His own power, in His godly ability. Don't try to help God out. What's the biggest sin that we, or a sin that we catch ourselves in all the time? Helping God answer our prayers. Well, the Lord, I prayed for this. Looks like a window cracked open right over here on that prayer. So I'm just going to open that window right on up. You better leave it cracked for a little while until God opens it. Okay? Leave the crack there so that all the pressure in the room can sort of equalize. I'm talking about your brain and your spirit. And always remember, God is willing to answer our prayer. He will answer our prayer, but He doesn't need my help in doing it. If He needed my help, I would not be praying to God, would I? I'll just do it. Too often we get involved in stuff, and we don't realize what we're doing. And we think, sometimes we just hear voices. And those voices are not of God. Try the spirits to make certain they are of God. Because Satan will talk to you. Oh, he whispers sweet nothing in your ear in a heartbeat. Absolutely. Satan will do that. He will trick you. God's not going to trick you. You ask God, He's going to give you an answer. He's not going to trick you. Is it biblical what you're getting ready to do? Is there scripture to back up what you're doing? And I'm talking about when you're getting ready to interrupt God during a prayer time. God, I've given you my petition. Now I'm going to give you direction on how to fulfill my petition. Man, human beings are so arrogant. We really are. Sometimes I think that we on planet Earth think we're the only ones that even exist throughout the universe. I got news for you. Did you ever read about angels? Extraterrestrial beings? Do you believe in angels? Extraterrestrials? Then you're crazy, the world says. You're nuts that you're going to believe something like that. I enjoy being crazy with the rest of you all because I realize that as a Christian, I trust God. You know, there's the truth is in what I don't see, not in what I see. What I see in front of me is never going to last. This post, it's going to come down. Might come down sooner than you think. This post and all, it's going to come down. What I see will not exist in the time to come. What I don't see spiritually is the only true picture of life itself. What I can't see about me, what I can't imagine about me in the spirit realm, that's the only thing that's real with me. Yeah, okay. God delayed the request of Elizabeth and Zacharias. And they didn't get just a little job. I did all of that. What am I, attitude three? Okay, don't try to help God out. Sometimes God often waits until the situation is humanly impossible before He answers. Well, that's a miracle, isn't it? That's what a miracle is. When it's humanly impossible and it happens, that's the miracle. Okay. Examples, Elizabeth and Zacharias. They got a son, John the Baptist. Sarah at 90, Abraham at 99, they got a son, Isaac. Mary and Martha, brother Lazarus, was raised from the dead. Jairus, remember the ruler of the synagogue, Mark 5:35, had a 12-year-old daughter sick and dying. And what happened? Jesus delayed in getting there because Jesus was busy healing other sick people. And, you know, they said, don't waste your time. And as Jesus says, my time ain't wasted. He's always right on time, folks. Never late at all. Always right on time. At attitude number three. Attitude number four. Be willing to let God answer for his own purpose, not for your purpose. The entire Bible summarizes why God answers prayer. The whole Bible summarizes why God answers prayer. In two statements, for our growth and for his glory. For our growth and for his glory. God wants us to grow. He's going to answer your prayer. He wants you to grow as he answers that prayer. And he wants his glory to grow in you and throughout the world. So God is not going to leave us stranded and not answer our prayers. You know how I know? He said he wouldn't. He said we're to go out there and represent him. So he's going to give us the full authority to do so. And he's going to answer the prayer that we pray, but he's going to do it in a way that's going to glorify him and going to help us grow in the process. That's the kind of answer you want. If you don't grow in the answer, then that answer is not from God. Got it? Okay. Why did God answer Elizabeth and Zechariah's prayer for a son? Because he had planned for a John the Baptist. God had planned for a John the Baptist to come. He had a purpose for baby John. God knew that Elizabeth and Zechariah would raise John in his will. But he had to wait till they were right. John had to wait till he went to the Holy of Holies to realize something. Gabriel's real. Those angels are real. God's word is real. And I'm in trouble because I question. He was mute. But do you all remember the rest of that story? What went on as soon as John the Baptist was born? Elizabeth said, they said, what do we call him? What do we call him? And she said, his name will be John. And then the argument started. Oh, gosh, that's exactly what happens. It's a Baptist church. The argument started. Well, wait a minute. You can't do that, Elizabeth. What are you doing calling him John? There's not any John in the background. There's no John in the ancestry of your husband. And then God touched Zacharias' mouth and he spoke. And they all looked at him. You know, okay, Daddy, what do you say? And Zacharias says, his name is John. Well, you talk about the hearts coming together with the man and the wife. The word of God had been spoken. His name is John. Ah, what about tradition? God does not care about our human traditions, folks. They mean nothing. Too often in churches, tradition is worship instead of Christ. Tradition is put before the Word of God. God doesn't mess with tradition. God messes with the reality of the individual Christian. Now, If there's a Christian here that didn't know the tradition of the church, then that pastor had better defend that Christian against the whole church and stand up for that Christian against the whole church, because that Christian didn't know the tradition. So why would they be lambasted for something they didn't know? But that Christian knows Jesus. And there's so much more importance that needs to be focused on our relationship and who Christ is, and our relationship with who we are as Christ's servants in a community. And tradition is not a part of it. I am not saying that traditions are bad. I'm saying traditions are wrong when they supersede God's grace. It's wrong. Yes, ma'am. Just a moment, Brother Randy, a little slower. Here's a summary. When you pray and the request is not right, God says no. When you pray and you're not right, God says grow. When you pray and the timing is not right, God says slow. When everything is in place, God says go. Now that's prayer. And that's how God works in our life. Appreciate it and respect the Word of God, the timing of God, the way God does things in your life. Accept it, because you just had a prayer answered. God heard you praying and listen to your voice. Now, is that not honor enough for any of us? For those of you who don't have a church home, you're within the Vine Grove area, you come and see us, 408 West Main Street in Vine Grove. God bless you, and have a blessed new week.